And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I am talking about this show goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down yonder to the prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And I mean to say, even in big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi, just thrown in for good measure. All right, this is that time of the week when I enjoy bringing in two other people who are part of the fabric of the show. They're part of the family, the Right Side family here. They're ruffians. They're OG ruffians, and they are truly folks that we can't do without. So I like to call the roll first. So coming in by Clean Feed Connection, the man in charge of all our digital stuff, doing good things, and, oh, by the way, building the Right Side store. Hey, Butters, are you there?
I am here.
Smooth, silky smooth. All right.
And Eagle to our listeners in Auburn.
Oh, absolutely. There you go. All right. So Butters is here now, reaching north, calling in by phone from the great Madison County region, Huntsville area. That would be Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, you there?
I am here.
We have a quorum. It's Butters and Lee. Hit me some whoop whoops. All right, you guys. You know the deal. We ask questions. I ask the first round. Y'all ask the second round. So the first round question here for you. I almost half expect this was going to inflame some passions. So control yourselves. All right. There's legislation right now in Montgomery. Actually, State Representative Joe Lovern from Auburn. Legislation being proposed in Montgomery right now that would allow college athletes who get all that NIL money, allow them to receive it tax exempt. Like, it's income to them, but they would not have to pay taxes on it. I want your thoughts, and I'm going with Lee first. Lee, what are your thoughts on this?
And I know you probably think you know how I'm going to answer this, but you would probably not be correct. I do not think that they should receive tax breaks for NIL money. I think that it's money earned in our state. They should pay tax on it like everybody else. They don't get special exemptions because they can throw a ball or catch it or dribble it or whatever. I believe that NIL and the portal have is it truly attempting to ruin college baseball entirely. I mean, the football entirely, and I don't know about any of the rest of the sports, but I don't think it's a good thing. And as a matter of fact, I think they got to look at ways to cap this. We can't keep going the direction we're going. It's getting insane. You know, when you're just offering some kid, hey, if you'll go on the transfer portal, I'll give you $3 million. This isn't what NIL was set up to do. And right. I think there should be caps, like you would cap an NFL team or something like that. I think there should be caps on how much money can be given out based on NIL. I don't know how you would cap that, but you know what I'm saying? To prevent just teams that have endless supply of money from just purchasing the best team. Now, granted, I've been an Alabama fan my whole life, and we had quite a role there, but it wasn't because we were paying them, it's because the coach we had. And so, yeah, we had a bunch of five stars sitting on our benches, and we loved it, and that's not what we have now. But I still think, why should they get this? Why should they get their money tax-free? I don't understand. I don't even know why someone's proposing that.
They're proposing it ostensibly because it will help our colleges to recruit against colleges from other states who don't offer tax exemptions. So let me flip it over to Butters real quick. Butters, your thoughts on this? Deep sigh.
I think it is an absolute embarrassment, and I think it is a horrific statement against how jacked up our society has come that this is even a proposal. Who cares if it makes us better at recruiting football players? That is not the job of the government in Montgomery. They should stay away from that to the point of why do they get funds? Because the first thought that comes to my mind is if anybody does, it should be our first responders and our veterans. And perhaps even our teachers should get tax exemptions before football players. I'm all for free market economy. That's great. Do what you want to do in college football. But this is the most ridiculous idea. And even more on that is it's the beginning of the session. What other legislation isn't getting taken care of right, or looked at? Because we're talking about football. It's absurd, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Any state that's doing it, it doesn't matter. The competent, and I'm a graduate of Auburn. I want them to have a competitive edge. That's great, but this is not the way.
All right, don't beat around the bush. Now tell me how you feel.
Man, it gets me fired up.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead. What you got?
I will say maybe they're trying to compete with states that don't have a state income tax.
Yeah.
Is the only thing I can think of that they're trying to compete with, like, say, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, whatever. But still, to me,
not the job of government.
I totally agree with him. There are other things that need our attention, not this.
Well, I think that absolutely right. I think if you want to go down this road, then how about do away with the state income tax in general? Because what we don't need to do is say that the most important people in our economy are the kids who are playing sports. And not that they're not important, but what I'm saying is, and Butters put it, like, we got our veterans who are getting taxed on their military retirement. We've got first responders who go into harm's way all the time to make our lives safer and to rescue people and to save life, limb, and property. We got any number of people out there who do amazing things. Teachers, you mentioned it. Yeah, I've got teachers in my family. And I would love to see what I would call a more reasonable approach to the idea of tax breaks, because I'm all for tax breaks. And I got all kinds of grief yesterday, by the way, on the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. They're like, Senator doesn't like tax breaks anymore. No, dude, I don't like stupidity in state government. And this is ridiculous. And if they go down this road, then you're going to have a little patchwork quilt of carve-outs. And we don't need that. Just do away with the state income tax. Be like Florida. It can't hurt. Or can it? I don't know. Let's just try it a different way. All right, good job, guys. Great. Before I run out of time, let's jump on question number two here. I'm going to go national now. Let's talk about spending in a different place. So Trump is talking about tariffs again today. He's talking about what he calls counter tariffs, meaning if there are any efforts to tariff us, that there will be an automatic response. So some are already saying if he does it, it's going to cause a spike in inflation. Here's my question. Is it worth it? Are you personally willing to say, I'll pay more for goods if it means, you know, that we are stabilizing something on the international scene or the trade wars or foreign policy gains? I want to hear your thoughts on this. You first this time, Butters.
I'm all for Trump using all the tools in his toolbox available to him to accomplish the goals which he thinks are best for the American economy. So I say that, meaning I don't know how it plays out, but clearly, you know, Trump has a tactic of going, you know, to one extreme and threatening or throwing something out to get what he wants. So far, he seems to be doing a pretty good job with this stuff. So sure, I'm absolutely willing to see how it plays out. And come into some, you know, common sense way of handling. Clearly, what we've been doing doesn't seem like it's working all that great.
Okay, all right, Lee, your thoughts on it? Tariffs, yes or no?
Well, yes or no. That's a bit. I say yes sometimes. You're talking about the reciprocal tariffs, right?
And, yes.
And they've been tariffing our goods for so many years, and we aren't tariffing theirs, that people don't even understand what's going on in these different countries.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to pay more in the short term if it's going on the back end to lower cost in the long term, because our economy can take a certain amount of hits that most of these countries' economies cannot, period. Yeah. They cannot. Why do you think Mexico folded like a, you know, dirty napkin when we threaten them, you know, with tariffs right before the Super Bowl on their precious avocados? I mean, they just can't take the, you know, it's like Canada, they talk a great game, but their economy can't take high tariffs from us. They just can't.
Yeah.
And yeah, people here won't be happy with the tariffs and the resulting increase in prices. But if that eventually causes a reduction in prices later, I'm willing to go along with it. But you know, Europe is funky the way they do taxes. You know, and they have that value-added tax or VAT taxes. And, you know, the way they embed these taxes and things, it's just they haven't been fair. Most countries have not been fair with us when it comes to tariffs. They just haven't.
Yeah.
And with us pushing these tariffs, you know.
Go ahead.
It's more of a we'll see. I'm not going to say 100% that every tariff is going to work, but I think we have to try something different.
Well, I think you're right, and I think this is absolutely a tool in the toolbox, and I think that's the phrase that that Butters used. This is a necessary evil, is my opinion. And what he's talking about, and when you say reciprocal tariffs, and you mentioned it, if there are countries that are already tariffing us or decide to because they don't like our new foreign policy or whatever else, or don't think they're going to get a good shake in the Trump trade arena, then the reality is he just made it known to the world, if that happens, you will be tariffed in return. And I think, to your point, Lee, we can sustain it more than they can. Will we pay more potentially on some goods? We might. It might create a trade war, but most of the world cannot sustain a trade war with the United States. China, yeah. The EU in general, maybe, but generally speaking, no.
The sky's not falling tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just in general, this whole administration, you know, we're actually seeing statesmanship. We're actually seeing negotiation. We're actually seeing things that we haven't seen in years, you know. And so, yeah, there's probably a level of discomfort on a lot of things, not just with the tariffs. I'm all for it. Get out there.
We're no longer the piggy bank of the world.
Yeah. And by the way, it hadn't been working well under the Biden administration, so why don't we do something different? How about that? All right, you guys. Great. Grace first round. Butters and Lee answering the questions. All right, we flip the script when we come back. They ask me questions, and I just kind of hold my breath and wait and see what's going to happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Butters and Lee, we'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Hey, by the way, just before we go back to Butters and Lee, I got to remind you guys, coming up here in a few minutes after the next break at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, we'll be going to the interview we just did this morning with Hollywood actor Kirk Cameron. So we did that this morning, got it in pre-record mode, and JP's got it all queued up and ready to roll. So, yeah, stay tuned. We'll play that audio and video, actually. If you're watching it online, you'll get to see the actual video of the interview with actor Kirk Cameron. Y'all stand by for that. Back to Butters and Lee. This is where they ask me questions, and I just wait to see what happens. Lee, you first. What you got?
Okay, so, by the way, congrats on the new merch store. It looks really cool online.
Thank you. That would be Butters put that together. Hey, by the way, Butters, I got to break in and say, we just had somebody text the show and said, love my new coffee mug that I just ordered 4 days ago, and I've already got it. So, awesome.
Nice. That's awesome.
Nice job, Butters.
Okay, Lee, what you got?
All right, so, remember back when Bill Clinton met with Arafat, they were trying to get a two-state solution. Clinton thought he had it. I mean, he just could see that Nobel Peace Prize floating in front of him.
Yeah.
And Arafat turned it down, the two-state solution, as they have before several times, and because I truly believe they don't want one. But my question for you is, there's always been that approach, two-state. Then Trump comes in and says, let's do something different. Let's make a golf course out of Gaza or whatever, hotels, golf courses. We're going to make it fabulous. What, do you think that his motivation there was to shock people? Because it certainly is something no one's ever suggested before. Or do you think it's just do you think he's thinking correctly or trying to push them into another different type of solution? Because we have yet to ever get any amenable solution.
Okay, so
either party.
So a couple things there. Like, so for the audience's benefit, those who might not have heard, Trump the other day said that Gaza, which is being leveled by the Israeli army right now, and rightfully so, is being just destroyed, that he's willing to say the United States will take the lead on getting it, helping get it rebuilt and make it a beautiful. I mean, it's really, it's on the Red Sea. It's got some great potential, but it's a giant slum in many ways. He looks at it as a chance to do something. Now, I'll say two things here. One is, this is what Trump does. Think about it. He takes distressed properties, even Mar-a-Lago was a distressed property, buys it for a song, fixes it up, and turns it into a jewel. That's his gift. That's what he's done multiple times. I did it with the Trump Hotel, which was the old post office building in D.C., and a bunch of others. So he's good at taking a place that is distressed and putting it back into a more than usable, beautiful fashion. Is this the right thing to do here? I don't think so. Not with us paying for it anyway. But I really don't think it's going to happen. I think he's trying to shake up the dynamic. I think he's trying to say there's a better way. I think Netanyahu's response to that was, no one has ever thought so out of the box like this, like you have. And what he's basically doing, though, is he's shaming the Middle Eastern nations who won't do a thing to assist the situation. Because they don't want a U.S. development that might swing things in a certain direction in terms of U.S. friendliness, if you will. But they're getting shamed by the United States on the far side of the world into having an idea that they won't promote themselves. Egypt could do this. Saudi Arabia could do this. Qatar could do this. But they don't want to because everybody hates the Palestinians, to be honest. They've been kicked out of most of the countries over there. Two-state solution ain't going to happen. And I doubt if we're going to rebuild it. But there's my quick answer to that.
It sure would be nice for a little revolution in Iran just about now. So
that's a whole
let the people rise up and take that would really then a lot of this discussion becomes a lot simpler.
And then we take Iran's oil and rebuild Gaza. Okay, so what you got there for me, Butters?
Well, so did you have you happened to watch J.D. Vance's speech at the AI? The conference, what was that? The Action Summit.
Only clips of it.
Have you
seen that? Only clips of it.
Ah, man, it's a 15 minutes that is very much worth your time. It's a feel good, right? So the highlights, he basically warned all the nations: be careful who you're getting in bed with. You know, they may be offering cheap goodness, but it'll come back to bite you. In the long run, he said, America will always focus on putting Americans first in the development of AI, in particular, the workforce. I mean, he didn't beat around the bush. He went straight to clear, saying what
I got about a minute and a half, brother.
Yep. And then he said, AI will not be built by hand-wringing about safety. It will be built by building. What are your thoughts on getting out in front of this AI stuff?
Well, thank you for leaving me 35 seconds to try and answer that question. Let's see here. I think the bottom line is think of what would have happened if Kamala Harris was president, because the last time she was asked a question about AI, she starts off by going, now AI, that's an acronym and it stands for artificial intelligence. And then she giggled and she tried to talk and it didn't make sense. He gets up there and for 15 minutes opines in a cogent fashion about something that defies most people's ability to grasp it. And we think of things like, the Terminator. But here's the bottom line. I do believe that AI is with us. So I do believe that we're going to wind up having to have our hands around it in such a way that we can effectively use it without letting it destroy our I'm concerned it's destroying education. I'm concerned that it's destroying creativity. I'm concerned that it's going to destroy, authorship. And next thing you know, we're going to have books that are written by computers. And then there's also the danger of what it does to personal security and then even international security. So I think we better get our hands around it. And there's my short answer to a long question. All right. That's it. Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you so much. And coming up next, we got our interview with actor Kirk Cameron. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.